You're listening to The Impulse Project, featuring music from the demo scene and the tracking community.
All right, everyone, welcome back to The Impulse Project, featuring music from the demo scene and the tracking community. My name's Ed, and with me, as always, is Brian. And this is episode 36. And holy cow, man, we actually got two out in consecutive months. This is a record for us.
It's a record. Well, man, just think about it. We used to be doing these every 2 weeks.
Just about, yeah.
Yeah. And so... It's nice to give ourselves a little bit of breathing room between episodes now, but I'm glad that we're still doing it, so that's all that matters to me.
Absolutely. And this is our last episode of 2018.
Right.
And so next episode, we're going to do kind of our favorite tracks of 2018, which will be something cool to look forward to, because there's a lot of stuff we didn't get to play this year because we didn't put out too many episodes.
Right,
so, but here, this is kind of a free pick that we're doing, just a bunch of tracks that we've been sitting on for a while. Some pretty well-known composers, maybe some more obscure stuff. I think we've got a good mishmash of a lot of different stuff in this show.
Yeah, some of the tracks, you're going to recognize the names right away. And, you know, a lot of mine weren't intentional either. It was kind of like, I heard the track and I was like, oh man, I've been wanting to play this for a while. And then I look and I'm like, oh yeah, this, we've played already like three tracks by this guy, but it's still really good stuff. So I think, the collection of stuff that we're going to showcase today is going to be a lot of fun. Some new stuff, some old stuff, and, everything in between.
Absolutely. So, speaking of tracks, my first track that brought us in today was called 200 Miles from Earth. And that was by Chiron of the group Cosmos. And that was a 20-channel XM file at around 864 kilobytes of glorious arpeggiated fun.
A lot going on in that track.
Yeah, you know what? I was listening to it. I really like it because that's the kind of stuff that I was listening to, you know, the early 2000s when electronica was really big.
That is a typical Ed track. Like, I when I heard it, I was like, oh, yeah, I could see him picking this one right away.
What I really enjoyed about it, though, was watching the tracker roll, because usually, well, I'm not going to say usually, but a lot of times you'll see less talented composers kind of pick a sample of one long arpeggio and stick it in as one sample.
Right.
This guy, every single note in every single arpeggio was an individual note on the tracker and with its own individual volume envelope and, you know, fading in and fading out.
I did notice that there was a lot of the channels and a lot of the notes of each of those channels had its own effect on it rather than just some random notes. Now, there were channels that there were never any effects on, and I'm not sure what sample those were because I didn't solo it out. But all those other channels, like a good, I think, 3/4 of them had each note with its own like effect on it or volume change or something that had some, I guess, some touch to it, some extra love.
Yeah, there was a lot of attention to detail in this one. My guess is that the channels without the effects were probably percussion or something like that, where you just have a steady snare or hi-hat that you don't really need to go crazy with it.
It could have been.
So Chiron's real name is Paul Schultz, and he is a native of the USA. He's from Cincinnati, Ohio. He put this track out in 1996 as part of the Cosmic Free Music Foundation. Yeah, so 96, I mean, this was contemporary music at the time.
Oh, wow, that's 20 channels, you said?
Yeah.
That's pretty impressive and the samples are really high quality for 1996. Huh.
Yeah, this guy had a lot of talent to lean on, though, because the Cosmic Free Music Foundation, otherwise known as the KFMF, they were a worldwide group of musicians, artists, and coders that were focused on the PC demo scene. And a lot of their members were from the US, Canada, and Australia. And they kind of traded in techno, trance, and ambient electronic music. So they would share these samples between them and probably a lot of the techniques to make electronic and trance music as well.
Right, right.
So I think these were some of the guys that were really kind of on the forefront of making this kind of music with these amount of channels, you know, for the demo scene.
Wow.
The group was founded in 1991, so, you know, they had been kind of working together for a whole 5 years before this track was finally released. So I think, he probably had a lot of knowledge and giants to stand on, so to speak.
Is he still doing stuff today, or is this, like, kind of just in the past? 'Cause
not that I know of. He was active in KFMF from 94 to 98, and then after that, I didn't really hear too much about him. Before that, he was a member of Acid, Codex, Delirium, Distortion, and Radical Rhythms. And in the liner notes, he said most of the samples are by him, but he also used a few rips from guys like Burt, Sandman, and Bassheads, who were also all in Cosmos as well. And then after that, he did some music for video games. He contributed some music for an expansion pack to the first Unreal, that first-person shooter that was out
way back in the day.
Yeah, wow. So he did a little bit for Epic Games. It was called Unreal Return to Napali. He did some music. Those games had a great soundtrack. It's a very underrated game as far as music goes.
I listened to the Unreal soundtrack. This is like just an expansion pack of that?
Yeah,
okay.
Exactly.
Okay.
It's an expansion. There were, I think, three different artists on the expansion pack, and he was one of the three.
Huh. I have to go back and listen to that. That's interesting. I only know the Unreal soundtrack, but I don't know any of the expansion pack stuff, so So they just got a bunch of scene guys to do this music, or?
Yeah, basically, I think he it might have actually been part of the KFMF. I'm not 100% sure on that. Okay. I didn't do too much research, but.
Anything else about the track?
No, he's got a lot of other techno stuff, though. So, you know, take a look at Mod Archive. You know, you can look up Chiron's name, and you're going to find a whole bunch of music that sounds a lot like this.
I keep wanting to say Cryon. Every time I read it, I'm like, oh, man. Oh, no, that's not it.
Yeah, it's kind of a weird name. It's K-H. Interesting.
All right, you ready for next track?
Hit me with it.
All right, so this is one of the more well-known composers. We've featured some of his stuff on the show before, I think our Halloween episode, maybe our Christmas episode. It's all holiday stuff. This is called The Java Trip by Drax of the Vibrance. It's a 20-channel XM file at 332 kilobytes. Let's take a listen. Right, that was The Java Trip from Drax of the group Vibrance. It's a 20-channel XM file at 332 kilobytes. Fantastic track. It's very 80s, kind of 70s power ballad kind of.
Yeah, Van Halen, kind of like a Panama or a Jump kind of style.
Yeah, Van Halen, big time, big time. Yeah, I picked this track. I've been sitting on this one for a while, actually. I think it's been, I showed it to you like a few years ago, I'm sure, you know, and it, you know, I was kind of looking through some of the stuff that we kind of put off to the side, and I listened to it and I was like, man, it's time. We got to play this one. Very cool track.
Yeah, definitely.
In the liner notes, he says, coffee makes life easier. That's his message to the world. So
I'm sucking down a cup right now, so I can totally agree.
So am I. What'd you think about the track?
I loved it. I love that big crunchy snare in the left channel.
Right.
I love that he uses a lot of the same instruments he uses in a lot of his different songs, but it still has such a different feel from a lot of his other songs, right, too. Especially that backing keyboard channel. I hear in a lot of his other tracks, but then he's got some great like keyboard runs. He's just, you know, dude, he knows what he's doing. He doesn't have to make it like overly complicated and overblown to make a really fun, listenable track.
Totally. And then you get to that guitar solo or that keyboard solo and just, my God, it's so good. his samples are just so clean. I don't know what it is about his stuff. And I don't know if it's really the samples. I think it's actually like you were saying when we were listening to the track, like, I don't know how this is a 20 channel XM file. It sounds like it could be almost like four, you know, but all of the channels, there is like harmonization going on for like two different notes and they're the exact same sample. So they fit in like the right wavelength, I guess. And it just sounds so tight, kind of like a packaged thing for like three different notes or three different channels at a time, that I think it creates this illusion that, it's just like this tight knit band playing together and not, you know, five different samples playing at the same time, you know.
I totally agree. So two points I wanted to make. One, Starbucks makes a Frappuccino called Java Chip.
Ooh.
So every time I try to say Java Trip, I end up saying Java Chip, and it reminds me, now I want to go have a Frappuccino. And two, so for my other podcast, VG Embassy, I've got a pretty active Discord, and I was looking for some songs to play on this show, and so I asked people if they knew of any Game Boy chiptune composers, because I wanted to add some Game Boy to the show. Mm-hmm. And so one of my pals, Ben Dishman, otherwise known as The Diet, he's got his own show as well. He's like, oh, I know this guy. I can't remember his name. You really like him. Oh, I can't remember. And he finally comes back to me like a day after. And he's like, it's Drax. And I'm like, oh, man, he did Game Boy games, but he didn't do any Game Boy demo scene stuff.
Right.
So I didn't end up including any of his stuff in the show. But it's really funny that you did completely coincidentally. So, Ben, you got your wish anyway.
Yeah. That's awesome. yeah, Ben's a good guy. So Drax, we've talked about him before on the show. You know, he's from Denmark. He's currently a member of Bonsai, Camelot, Crest, Maniacs of Noise, and the Vibrants. He's been in a lot of other groups, been doing stuff for years and years and years. This track itself was released in 1997, still making stuff today. So long time scener, and we can expect a lot more stuff down the road. Cool guy. All right, so that was the Java Trip. What do you got next for us?
Next up, we're going to go with a little bit of NES. So let's take a listen to Welcome to Dudley Town from Doomcloud. right, that was Welcome to Dudley Town by Doomcloud, and that was an NES song composed using MIDI-ness, and we'll get to what that is in a couple seconds. So that was released on October 31st of 2013, and it was released as part of the Masquerade EP with three other tracks.
How have I not heard this track before? This is incredible, man.
Yeah, it's really good. Good. I was just kind of I wanted to get some new blood on the show, and so I think I just typed in, like, I just Google searched NES chiptune, like, just as broad a search as I possibly could, and just kind of went through some Google pages, and this guy's SEO just happened to be pretty good because he was near the top, and took a look at his tracks, and I really, really like this one. And what stood out to me the most was that reference to Dudley Town, because if you don't know what Dudley Town is, it's this kind of infamous town that was abandoned in Connecticut. So it's only about a half an hour from where I live.
I was going to say, I don't know anything about Dudley Town. Yeah. The name sounds familiar, but...
It's, are you familiar with the Warrens? They are like this couple that would like go around like and do like exorcisms and like go like...
Oh, right,
Connecticut, that movie, and the Conjuring. Yes. So those movies were all about their adventures, basically.
Remind me to never visit you. Like, that place creeps out on me, dude.
Yeah, so they were residents of Connecticut, and I actually saw one of their live presentations just before the woman passed away at one of our local colleges. So it was pretty cool to have kind of like a connection to that. But Dudley Town became famous because the Warrens did a TV special from Dudley Town where they kind of explored it. I'm figuring they were pretty much charlatans. I mean, I don't believe in ghosts, but whatever. They basically, right, at the end of it, after all this craziness went down, they declared that the town was demonically possessed. And when I say town, I mean, it's like a collection of dilapidated buildings that had been abandoned since like the 1800s. So it's not like this like town that
so,
was bustling.
Sure.
And
who cares?
Yeah. Well, the thing was, is that it started attracting all these people that wanted to go exploring. And so they were kind of like vandalizing it. So now the whole thing is completely walled off. There's like police patrols all over the place that are like trying to keep people away from it.
Wow.
Which is only adding to the mystery. You know, it's like the Streisand effect. So now everybody wants to go see it because it's so, you know, people, right, what are they hiding? And they're just trying to keep people off their property. So anyways, I was really curious about the whole Dudley Town connection. So I listened to the track. You know, I was feeling it for like the first minute, but I was like, it's a bit repetitive. I'm not sure if it's going to really work on the show.
I felt the same way, man. I was like, yeah, this doesn't seem like a typical track that you'd pick. Not in the beginning anyway.
Yeah, and then that groove came in with a lot of that kind of like those dubstep elements. It really reminded me of that the Showdown VIP mix from DeChampster that we played on the NES episode.
Oh, right. Yeah,
really,
yeah,
really
yeah.
Good, like NES dubstep style music. And so I was thrown right back to that kind of style. And from what I understand with MIDI-ness is that it's not nearly as fully featured as something like Famitracker is. So basically it's a NES cartridge, you throw it in your console, and it's got a MIDI cable that sticks out of it.
No kidding. Yeah, you know what? I've heard of this. Yeah.
Yeah, so you can play on your, you know, make real-time music on your NES, or you can, I guess you can use the program on the cartridge to record it and multi-track it on the NES, but then you have to just, you know, you have to record it from line out. I don't think there's any way to really get that music to become like an NSF file or anything you can play in a computer. So probably great for like live performances and bands that want to use it, like Anamanaguchi and stuff. But
that makes sense, because I was wondering, like Ed, why did you send me a WAV file of this track?
Yeah.
You know, like now I get it. Now I get it. But wow, what a great track. Those samples getting abruptly cut off. Mm-hmm. It just, and that whole dubstep groove. The crunching of the that very high crunch that you hear, it's like that, it's almost like white noise, but with like some tonal changes to it. I think that in combination with those kind of that dubstep groove on top, like, just sells it. This track just is so well done.
Yeah.
God, I'm shocked that I've never heard this.
Well, I'm glad I could bring it to you. So a little bit about the composer. His real name is Carl Pazinski. And I actually contacted him on Facebook because I couldn't really find any information about him anywhere, but I did, you know, was able to track him down on social media. So I asked him a couple questions, and I'll just paraphrase here, but he said he's been composing since 1998, and he actually produced hip-hop and beats before getting into electronic music. He was inspired to start producing chiptune music in the early to mid-2000s, immediately after discovering how it could be done, and he purchased a MIDI NES cartridge around that time, and he's been using the NES to produce chiptune music in many various projects, including Doom Cloud. And as for this Masquerade album that he put out, he wanted to do a Halloween-inspired EP, and dedicating a track to Dudley Town seemed the most appropriate. The legend of a cursed town, mixed with a semi-spooky 8-bit soundtrack vibe, was a match. So he definitely knew where he was going for when he made the title for this track. And he's got a whole bunch of different projects. So if you head over to planetzaxxon.bandcamp.com, you'll see, it basically looks like a record label, and it seems like a whole bunch of different artists, but it's really all of his different projects. It's a one-man page. So he's got, his other projects are called Sleep Creature, Oxygen Star, Chrome Cobra, Where's Waldo with Where's, W-A-R-E-Z, Steady C, which is his kind of like hip-hop project, Sadness with N-E-S for the sad, you know, part, and My Two Robo Dads. So he's got a whole bunch of different monikers that he goes by, a whole bunch of different types of themes. I think Doom Cloud might be a little bit more of the darker, aggressive stuff, and then he's got some other styles as you go. So we'll put the link in the show notes, because you should definitely check out more of his stuff.
Wow. Yeah, that's cool, man. Like, it's so crazy that he's involved in so many different projects, too.
Absolutely. All right, man. So that's all about I got for that. So what you got coming up next?
Well, you got a surprisingly lot of content out of that. Using just a Google search, that's pretty incredible. So let's see here. So I have a track, actually, and this is pretty recent. This is from March 31st of this year. The track is called The Past, The Present, and The Future. It's composed by Skyrunner. It's a 32-channel XM file at 1,975 kilobytes.
Holy moly.
Yeah, it's quite a big one, but it took fifth place in the Revision 2018 Tracked Music Competition. I think you guys will like it. It's got a lot of different kind of motions going on, so take a listen, and we'll be right back. We'll be right back. All right, that was The Past, The Present, and The Future from Skyrunner. It's a 32-channel XM file at 1,975 kilobytes, whopping massive XM file, but for all the right reasons, this is a fantastic track. And I picked this one. I mean, it's a newer track, but when I was listening to it in the car, I had it on repeat, so I couldn't tell how many times it was going to the different, you know, in the past and in the present and the future. But, you know, listening to it through the first time, like, it's actually more coherent because you can tell every transition, like, correctly.
Yeah.
It sounds really, really clean, though. The samples are very well done. The transitions are really great. And there's kind of an arc to, like, the whole story, right?
For sure. And I can tell why the file size is as big as it is, because he's essentially got three different sound sets that he's using. You know, it starts off very classic, very jazzy. It's got almost like a player piano with some horn stabs and stuff.
There's like some real woodwinds and real like instruments in there.
Yeah, and then the present sounds a little more synthesized and demo scene-y, and then he gets into some more like kind of like industrial style drums and some, you know, harsher tones as you go into the future. So,
Right. Yeah,
three really different parts. I love the way he transitions in between them. I thought maybe the vocals where it was like announcing past, present, and future got a little overkill. It could have just been like one past, present, future, but it didn't detract from the song that much, you know.
Right. It was kind of like repeated in the middle of the section too.
Yeah.
And I didn't really need to be reminded because, you know, it's the last thing I heard.
Just in case you forgot.
But yeah, like it's so clever, you know, the whole concept of this track to really go from those, you know, like cogwheels turning to, you know, the kind of present demo scene stuff and to these really kind of phasing, like almost like, you know, space blaster sounds.
Yeah.
All in one track. And so I just thought that it's just a brilliantly composed.
Yeah, definitely.
And so this was composed by Skyrunner of the group Brain Control, TriStar, Red Sector, Inc., and Vantage. It's in three different groups, and it took fifth place in the Revision 2018 Tracked Music Competition. Look, there's some other really good tracks in that competition, but I mean, I would have expected this one to score a little higher. However, it's still an incredible track any way you look at it. His real name is Frank Scheffel, and he's a German composer. He said this, so I couldn't really find a whole lot of information from him, but on his website, he wrote that with this track, he wanted to celebrate 20 years of the demo scene, or his 20 years of the demo scene. So it's kind of like his anniversary, because he started composing in 1998, and that's when he kind of got into the scene. And so this, you know, 2018, 20 years later, and so it's kind of like this big thing for him.
That's really
cool. That's kind of where the idea and the concept came from to do the past, the present, and the future.
Well, happy anniversary, Skyrunner.
Yeah. You can check out his SoundCloud. He's got a bunch of other stuff on there, all different formats. The guy's putting out a lot of really cool stuff. He's put some other tracks in different competitions that took place this year and the previous years and stuff. So we'll put a link to his SoundCloud. You can check him out. If you go to like DemoZoo or like SceneSat or something, you can find his stuff on there as well.
Very cool. Yeah, I want to definitely hear more stuff. So does he have more stuff like this where it transitions from part to part, or is it more coherent?
I didn't see anything like this. This was kind of like a unique one. His other stuff that I listened to kind of in prep for this show seemed pretty more straightforward.
Cool.
But it was really good. I mean, the guy's got a lot of talent.
And with 20 years experience, I mean, he's probably composing on trackers with one hand tied behind his back at this point.
Yeah. But again, really well done. Guy's got talent, and I look forward to hearing more from him.
Excellent.
What do you got next for us?
Next up, so my last pick of the day is an Atari ST song. This is called Big Floppy People 06, and this is composed by Alchemist of the Ultra Crew. Thank you. All right, that was Big Floppy People, 06, and that was composed by The Alchemist from the Ultra Crew as an 8KB Atari ST track in SNDH format. And I'm picking these like slow burns with like funky and like middles, and then they go back to their default position again.
Right. Man, now I hear the name of the track again, and it makes me crack up because you're just like, what is it, like dum dika dum, and then you just picture these big floppy people. Oh man!
The crazy thing is that Big Floppy People is actually the name of a party in Sweden.
Oh, no kidding! No kidding!
Yeah, so I'll go into that a little bit. In a bit, but yeah, so this was released July 28th, 2006, and it took third in the Big Floppy People 2006 General Data Demo Competition. And
wow.
Yeah, this track was part of a 3D Atari ST demo, so it was just the music that was composed for that demo. And the demo was actually pretty cool. I ran it in an Atari ST emulator. And they do some really cool 3D effects. They've got some really nice complicated shapes with even like some textured sides and stuff, which I didn't even think was possible on the ST, with some text, you know, scrolling text on the bottom, just kind of like describing who composed the music and who coded it, etc. But it was pretty neat. Nothing that was like, you know, completely mind-blowing. And the music didn't really need to fit the demo too much because it was purely tech. It was just these shapes that were kind of bouncing around the screen. But it was fun, and I like the track. I like how it started off really kind of sad. I like I was telling Brian as we were listening to it, it was like somebody was like really depressed and they were just kind of like hanging out at home, and then this like really happy bouncy guy comes over and like cheers him up, and then like then he leaves and he gets a little bit depressed again, but you know.
Yeah.
I just felt like the song had kind of a good personality to it.
Well, at first I was like, you know, like make sure my playback is right here, and I had to kind of sing it back to you what I was hearing. You know, no, that's it. Just give it a few minutes. Really cool track though, man. Like I didn't know what to expect at all. So
yeah, I kind of dug this up out of the you know, very very bottom of the demo scene internet. I was just looking for weird names. I do that a lot. I'm just like, this one catches my eye and I just want to listen to it. And sometimes I hit some really interesting stuff. So as far as Alchemist goes, I don't know his real name. I know he's also known as JRB, so maybe those are his initials. That's the only other alias I've seen him go by on the web. But he hails from the UK. And in an interview, he said there was an Alchemist Metalware poster to the left of him when he was uploading a song and needed a handle. So he just decided that Alchemist was a good name. So he just kind of picked it out of thin air. But he's a coder, a graphician, and a musician in the Ultra Crew. And Big Floppy People, where this song was released, was a copy hacking at 8-bit party that took place in 2006, and then the second one in 2007 in Sweden. It was a moderately sized party. It only had about 89 to 90 guests.
Oh, that's pretty big. That's pretty
big.
Yeah,
it took place in.
I mean,
for like something that's not Revision or Evoke, it's probably you know, bigger than normal. But it took place in an old milk factory that had been abandoned since 1992. So like 15 years later, these demo sceners come in.
I was able to
track down the long defunct website for the Floppy People party. I can't say that without a little cracking up, but I found it on the Wayback Machine, and part of the description of, you know, like it was basically a description of telling people what to expect when they come to the party. And so the website author described the environment as not healthy, and it said, so there are hard floors, no showers, and few toilets. Big Floppy People will not and shall not be a healthy event. In fact, we embrace the filth of computer culture. You choose to live the data wildlife, and so do we. So I can only imagine 100 demo sceners in this like unclean like former milk factory. Who knows what it smells like in there? Just hanging out for 3 days and drinking.
That's great.
Yeah.
It's probably not too far from like all the other demo parties anyway.
It's true.
Oh, man. Oh, that was great. That's great. Big Floppy People.
Big Floppy People.
Yeah. Are you ready to move on?
I am. What you got next?
So this is our last track, right?
It is.
All right. So this next track, we said that we had a few kind of well-known names. And I got a track here from Pink, who we've heard from on the show before. This is a track called Customized. It's an AHX file. It's 7 kilobytes. Let's take a listen. We'll be right back. Right, that was Customized by Pink. It's a 4-channel AHX file at 7 kilobytes, and I couldn't find anything about it on like DemoZoo or any of the standard kind of go-to places for our demo scene content. But this is an incredible track, and I assume it's probably pretty old because this is when he was with Abyss, and so I've been with Abyss for a very long time, but I'm assuming it's just like in the early 2000s, maybe late 90s. Again, just a guess. I don't know.
Cool. Yeah, I really like the groove in this. I love the fact that he's got like three different solos and they all use different instrumental timbres, but they're all in different style. Like one you could tell is probably like he was thinking about like a saxophone. Another one he was definitely thinking about keyboard. You know, he was kind of picking these different instruments and soloing in different styles, but keeping the same kind of backing music. So that was very cool to listen to.
Yeah, I think this track has a really nice groove to it. I mean, it's pretty consistent, the full track, but there is some breaks and some changes that give it like new breath every once in a while, especially with those new solos that kind of come in. And I think that is where the track actually keeps my interest, because if it's just the same solo after solo, then I kind of, you know, I'm kind of like, yeah, whatever. But
right,
he does a real good job. And we've listened to a lot of his stuff before where uses, you know, that same beat and that same rhythm, then just keeps layering stuff on top of it and like new solos and new instruments or new timbres, like you're saying. And I think that's why he's such an excellent artist. A lot of attention to detail and a lot of compositional techniques that I think are really strong. We've talked about Pink before on the show. His real name is Manfred Linsner, and he's a German composer. He's a member of Abyss, Arise, and Pyrodex. Active in the scene from 1992 to 1998, but he's still doing stuff. And if you go to his SoundCloud, there's still stuff that he's releasing, and every now and then, even though He primarily works for a company called Shinin, which is his new company that I guess they do a lot of games. We've mentioned this before on the show too. Fast Racing Neo, Iridian for Game Boy Advance, right?
Mm-hmm.
And Nano Assault series, all that stuff. Very well-known composer, I think, in the video game world and also in the demo scene. So just expect more stuff from him on the show.
And it's been a while since we've played an AHX file, too. So that's kind of, it's like more like a more advanced version of like the Commodore 64.
Right.
Just to kind of refresh people's memory. It's in stereo, but same number of channels, right? Is that only three voices or do they add more?
No, so it's four. Okay. It's like using a C64, but on an Amiga. So it's like the Amiga is emulating the sound of the SID chip. And so you do have a little bit more freedom, but stuff is not just sequenced. I mean, you put it through a sequencer, but it gets compiled and you actually run this AHX file. So yeah, I mean, I really love the format. It keeps things really, really small. It gives you that very authentic chiptune sound that I think a lot of people go for, and gives you kind of all the fun of the C64 on the Amiga.
We should maybe dedicate a show to that. So at some point, maybe it would be fun.
It would be good. I mean, there's a lot of really great tracks. I think even one of our shared folders, we have like, you know, probably like 30 tracks or 20 tracks or something in there just waiting to be played. And this was one of them. So
right on.
Yep. All right, man. I think that about wraps up the show. Got a lot of really good stuff, man. I'm still blown away by that NES track.
Yeah, the more I listen to that, the more I fall in love with it. And you got to check out the other tracks on that EP too. I think you'll enjoy them. They're very much in the same kind of vein. But yeah, really good tracks today. I'm glad we got to throw some Drax in there. It's been a while since we've heard anything from him.
Right, and the big floppy people, man.
And big floppy people.
Yeah.
Yeah. So next episode, like we said at the top of the show, is going to be our kind of 2018 in review, or some of our favorites that have come out over this past year, and that'll be our first show of 2019.
Yeah, got some really good stuff. There's been a lot of parties, man. I feel like there's just more and more parties every year, and it's funny because you think the scene would start kind of dying out, but it's almost the opposite. It's getting more attention every year, and like these parties are just, it's just like they're growing. There's new stuff all the time.
Yeah.
And so I was going through 2018 compos a few weeks ago, and I've been trying to keep up with it throughout the year, but I just look and there's just like, God, there's so many now. The list just goes on and on and on. So
it's like every week you look at the web and then, oh my God, I missed another party. I missed another party.
Jesus Christ. So a lot of good stuff you can expect in the next episode. And so be sure to keep an eye on your podcast feed in January, mid-January of 2019.
We'll see you next year, guys.
Adios. Is a track from Pink, who we've heard from on the show before. Man from Lisner. Did I just say that really weird?
You kind of slurred it a bit, yeah.
Yeah. I'm still laughing about the floppy people and the dick. Oh, God. All right. Jesus Christ. Okay.